Now, that former U.S. Vice President Al Gore was in town last week flogging his new movie. It's called An Inconvenient Sequel. This is back to this energy crisis, which is just a monumental issue confronting us. And this Gore movie is a follow-up to his 2006 documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, which for some inexplicable reason won an Academy Award. Remember in 2007, Britain's High Court found An Inconvenient Truth was alarmist, one-sided and propagated 9 untruths. And according to Justice Michael Burton's judgment, it's not a science film, it's a political film. And Mr. Gore wasn't short on the politics and fear-mongering while he was here. He said man-made pollution was equivalent to 400,000 Hiroshima atomic bombs every day. He compared climate change to historic moral causes such as abolishing slavery, universal suffrage, anti-apartheid, civil and gay rights. He said it was clearly wrong to destroy the prospects of living prosperously and sustainably on a clean earth, and to condemn future generations. It was wrong to allow slavery continue, to deny women the right to vote, to discriminate on the basis of skin colour or who you fell in love with, and to allow apartheid to continue. He said the world is only getting hotter, that 2016 was the hottest year on record, and that Australian heat waves are now 5 times more likely because of global warming. Miranda Devine gets it right in her column today. She writes, scaremongering is what Gore does best, and fear is the business model that's made him rich, though his every apocalyptic scenario has failed to materialise. Well, interestingly, while Mr. Gore seeks to get his message out there, members of the public were banned from taking photos and recording what he said at a speaking engagement in Melbourne. That edict didn't stop some people, like a man called Mark Morano. I've spoken to him before. Mark's an award-winning investigative journalist and a senior member of the Washington, D.C.-based Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. Mark is in Australia with Craig Rucker, who's the executive director of CFACT, and they brought with them their own new film. It's called Climate Hustle. And in the words of its creators, Climate Hustle, which is hosted by Mark, quote, it reveals the history of climate scares, including global cooling. It debunks outrageous claims about temperatures, extreme weather, and the so-called consensus. Exposes the increasingly shrill calls to act immediately before it's too late. And in perhaps the film's most important section, profiles key scientists who used to believe in climate alarm, but have since converted to scepticism. For my Sydney listeners, there's a special screening of Climate Hustle tomorrow night. It's at 7 p.m. at Club 5 Dock, which is at 66 Great North Road 5 Dock. You can book at eventbrite.com. Eventbrite.com. But Mark Morano's on the line. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Alan. Thank you for having me on.
You are most welcome. An inconvenient truth indeed, don't you think?
Yes. In fact, this sequel that Al Gore has coming out will be hitting the theaters here in Australia in a few weeks and worldwide in a few weeks. And what Al Gore's done is he's decided to double down on the focus of extreme weather. We got to see clips of the film during his presentation I attended in Melbourne. And what he does is he just shows fish in the street. He shows people being rescued from floods. He shows droughts. And he claims this is all due to man-made global warming. Well, in my film, Climate Hustle, which, as you mentioned, we're premiering here in Sydney tomorrow night, we actually go through the peer-reviewed data. We cite the United Nations, and we show that Al Gore is not only wrong, but he's embarrassingly, it's the opposite way. Extreme weather is actually declining as CO2 has risen. In other words, tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, droughts are at record low. Al Gore doesn't give any perspective in his film. He just anecdotally picks out video, emotional video of people being rescued. That seems to be the thrust of his video. And it's almost like a mob protection racket. It's almost like pay up. We got to pay the United Nations the most expensive treaty in world history, the Paris Agreement, $100 trillion. Pay this money or the weather will get you. Only we pay us the money, Al Gore and the United Nations, or the weather will get you. That's basically what we're facing now. And what Al Gore is essentially saying is we need to pay the UN, pay him, and they'll protect us from the weather. Otherwise, they can't be responsible for the bad.
It's frightening, isn't it? It's frightening that intelligent people. Now, we've now got a Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. He wasn't Prime Minister when I spoke to him about this issue. And he said, Alan, I've got to give the planet the benefit of the doubt. And now, it's extraordinary, isn't it, that intelligent people can be sucked in by this?
Yes. In fact, we actually talk about in the film, Climate Hustle, how during the witch trials, the Salem witch trials during the Middle Ages, that, you know, the judges, by the way, that condemned these women to death were all educated at Harvard. It was the best and brightest of the society that believed that witches were altering the weather. And now it's the best and brightest, in quotes, of our society that believe that United Nations treaties and emission standards by each individual country can save the planet, regulate our thermostat, and stop bad weather. This is a modern witchcraft that we're dealing with.
Definitely.
People actually believe that if we support the United Nations Paris Agreement, we can alter the weather, we'll all be safe. Even if you use United Nations science, their models, and believe every country is going to do a pledge, the statistician Bjorn Lomborg showed in peer-reviewed study that even if you believed all of that, the temperature we would have 100 years from now would be delayed by a mere 2.5 or 3 years if you fully implemented the UN treaty.
In Unbelievable.
Other words, it's not measurable, the impact.
No.
So if we did face a catastrophe, the UN wouldn't be able to save us.
But, I mean, Mark, I often read to my listeners here that Newsweek story, front page, and it was dramatic. It was alarmist, and it went on and on and on, and at the end the warning was about global cooling in the 1960s. I mean, now we've got...
We actually, in the film Climate Hustle, which you can watch the trailer at climatehustle.com, we actually show 1817 scientists concerned about melting Greenland. We show that there were claims back in the 18th century as well, 19th century, of people believing man had altered the climate and that that humans were responsible for bad weather events back then, before we even had the rise of CO2. So
But this is evangelical stuff, isn't it? I mean, and how this bloke could be taken serious. I mean, Al Gore is the bloke. So persuasive is he, and so are people have woken up to what he was about. He couldn't even win his own seat in a state in a presidential election.
Yes, in fact, we actually in the film feature scientists who voted for Al Gore, scientists who think Al Gore is a smart man, but then were, quote, appalled when they went and saw his film. And these are prestigious scientists from Ivy League universities. We've profiled Dr. Robert Gigengack, who is the head of the geology department at the University of Pennsylvania. We have Nobel Prize-winning scientists in this film who say the Nobel Prize-winning scientist, Dr. Ivar Giavar, in Climate Hustle, says he is ashamed of his home country, the Norwegian government, who gave Al Gore the Nobel Peace Prize.
Unbelievable.
For his film. I mean, this But Al Gore continues on. He's the most lavishly funded fossil fuel player in the climate debate. He's received hundreds of millions of dollars from the government, from Al Jazeera, for selling his old network.
Amazing.
And this is a man who has literally gone from a $1 million net worth to $500 million net worth, all based on...
Propagating an untruth, and we're gullible to accept it all. Hey, you keep going and we'll keep going. Eventually, we'll get there.
Thank you, Al.
Good on you, Mark. Look at him. Mark Morano. It's unbelievable, isn't it?